Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointed one we pray. Shalom, shalom, amen. Well, we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Proverbs 22. And we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, disobedience, and the understanding of disobedience and its consequences for the believer, the Christian man, the body of Christ. So Proverbs 22, a very familiar scripture that you all are familiar with, verse number 6. And it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." So the scripture tells us to train up a child in the way that he should go, not the way that he wants to go, but the way that he should go. Now, that word train in the Greek language simply means to make one to do. So when we are training up our children, we should make them want to do the things of God. Because, you know, the scripture tells us that it is foolishness that is built up in the heart of a child. So we need to train them properly so they understand the things of God. Amen. Those of you who are parents and have the privilege to raise children know that training them can be a challenge at times. Oh, yes, it can. They will make your hands sweat and make you want to do things that you don't want to do to them. You tell them to clean their rooms and they are either slow in obeying or they don't do it at all. They don't want to eat certain foods, mainly vegetables that are good for their development, and refuse to eat them. So there must be a training period in a child's life that has to be developed. You have to make them want to do the things that are correct. Even though they are children and are under the responsibility of you as parents, they have been given a free will, a privilege from God, but their free will has to be harnessed and trained and grown up to be mature Christians, and their choices line up with the Word of God. Amen. All right. Now, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So our Father gave man a commandment. He gave him a commandment of what not to do. And a command is a directive. It is an official instruction from the high courts of heaven. And he told man simply not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when he does, he will surely die. Now, our last time together, we were discussing the question, what is the cause for the Christian person to be disobedient to God's word? Now, I am not concerned about the non-Christians, the world, because they are going to do what they do. They are the children of Satan, the God of this age, not the God of forever, but the God of this age, and that age will end, but is the God of this age. So obedience is not in their DNA. It is not their modus operandi. All right. But God has said in his word that he has come that we, the Christians, might have life and have it more abundantly. He also told us that he has called heaven and earth as witnesses today against us, that he has set before us life and death, blessings and cursings. Then God tells us to choose life so that we and our descendants may live. So we see here that God tells us in his word that he's given us life and death, blessings and cursings. And so he really gives us the answer. He says, choose life. So really, the decision was already made for us by Jesus. But we just have to make the right decisions in our lives and choose life. Amen. Why? So that we and our descendants may live. Amen. So choose life in this verse kind of sounds like free will, right? For one to make their own decisions regarding life or what God has set before us. Now, free will is the free moral agency given to man, the ability to make his own choices, which is a privilege from God. Amen. Free will is a privilege from God. God never intended for him to make our choices in life, but we do. Amen. We are the ones that make the decisions. Even being spiritually and morally innocent, mankind still made the choice to disobey the command of God. Amen. Because when God created mankind in his image, man was made spiritually and morally innocent. Amen. They weren't perfect, but they were spiritually and morally perfect. It is my opinion that one of the main reasons or the cause for the Christian to be disobedient is his free will, his ability to choose for himself. Now, free will within itself is neutral. It is neither good nor bad, but a privilege given by God. But the application of it is what causes one to be disobedient. Amen? Now, please turn to 1 John chapter 2. Again, that's 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to read verse number 16. And it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of this world." Now it says it's not of the Father, so it doesn't come from our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, but it comes from the world. And who is the god of this world? Satan. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes from Satan. Now that word lust, it means a strong desire of any kind. Listen again. It means a strong desire of any kind. That desire could be negative or positive, depending on the impulse. Now, it is used with a good desire in three passages in the scriptures. The first one is in Luke 22. So please go there, please. Luke 22. And we're going to read verses 15. And it says, "Then he said to them," this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, this is Christ just before he was getting ready to give himself up to Calvary for us. But he said this, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." So this was a positive lust. His desire was to eat this Passover before he was getting ready to give up his life for the world. Amen. Then let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul is speaking. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. And it says, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is forever." So Paul was saying he had a desire to either stay here and be among his assignment in terms of his teaching, or to go be with the Lord. So he had a desire, and he didn't know which one he should do. But it was a positive desire, a positive impulse, nothing negative. And then finally, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17, we find the last positive teaching about lust. And it says, But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see you face to face with great desire. So Paul had established churches at Thessalonica, but he was no longer there, but he had a desire. He had a longing to go back to see the growth of the church there in Thessalonica. So these three verses, John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Well, let's go back. Luke 22, verse 15. And then Philippians 1, 23. And 1 Thessalonians 2, 17. Those three verses are the only three verses that show a positive or a good desire in terms of lust. All the other places in Scripture that speaks about lust has a negative desire in regards to the word lust. Everywhere else in the Bible, lust has a bad sense. So when we look at 1 John 2:16, it mentions the lust of the flesh. And the word tells us that there is no good thing in our flesh. And then also in 1 John 2:16, it says the lust of the eyes. It is the character, and that means it is the character of one that shows envy. So when you look at someone through your eyes and you see something that you want, that could be envy. Envy is the feeling of displeasure produced by witnessing or hearing of the advantage or prosperity of others. That's what envy is. When you hear or you witness the prosperity of others and you see it and you have a lust for it, you have a desire for it. Amen. And then finally, it says the pride of life. And we know that the scripture tells us pride comes before destruction. And that's when one shows his arrogance and display of deceit and boasting. When either of these desires are active in your life, then sin sits at the door and Satan wants to shift you as wheat. And his desire is to shake your faith so forcefully that you will fall, that you will stumble. Amen. That is why training of a child is so important. And the study of the word is so imperative. So when you are faced with a free will decision, a choice you have to make, then your choice will line up with the will of God. Amen. So important. So free will, when not used correctly, can cause the believer to be disobedient to our Savior's word. Amen. Okay, now let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. So free will, even though it is a privilege and an honor given to us by God, we must be careful how we apply free will to the word of God and into our lives, because the choices we make are long-lasting and life-changing. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6, please go to verse number 12. And it says, fight the good fight of faith. Once again, it says, fight the good fight of faith. We, the body of Christ, are in a fight, but not a physical one, but a faith fight. Amen. Now, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Again, Ephesians, chapter 6. And we're going to read verse number 12. And it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So again, we see it tells us that we are, again, in a fight, but we do not wrestle or fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. So please turn now to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 7 and 8. And it says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael's angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer." So we see it started out as a fight, and then it broke out as a full war. So we are a war family. We are at a fight and a full-blown war. And in this fight of faith, we have already won by the works of what Christ has done for us on Calvary Pass. We have to understand our rights regarding this so we can be successful in this fight. We are chasing the question, what causes the believer to be disobedient to God's word? We discovered that free will is one cause for disobedience. Now, John 10:10a, the book of John 10:10a, and this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy." So the Bible says the thief, and that is another name or synonym for Satan. And he said he does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. Now please go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. That's 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 8 and 9. It says, "Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9, it says, "Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." Amen. So we see here that we have an adversary. Amen. We have an adversary that walks around like a roaring lion. Now, he's not a lion. He's really a paper tiger. And then the verses tells us to resist him. And resist simply means to withstand against continually. So when you resist against Satan, you are continually withstanding against him. You consistently, you don't give up. And the reason why you don't give up, because he doesn't give up. Satan is going to consistently come after you and to try to convince you with any thought, any idea or suggestion to be disobedient to the word of God. Amen. When you are in a fight or battle, you have an enemy, and that enemy is your adversary. So, another reason why Christians, I believe, are disobedient is because they don't understand they have an adversary. And an adversary is one who actively opposes the will of God. One who actively opposes the will of God. See, most people give Satan too much credit. And because they don't understand their rights as Christians, Satan is able to deceive them and cause them to go astray of God's word. Now, let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And you have to know your rights as a Christian. The Bible tells us that Jesus says all authority or all power has been given unto him. And we as Christians have to understand that we have been given that same authority. Amen? So Philippians chapter 1 And I'm going to read this particular verse from the New English Bible by Edgar Goodspeed. So Philippians chapter 1, verse number 28. And it says this. It says, never for a moment falter before your opponents, for your fearlessness will be a sure sign for them of their coming destruction. But you, it will be an omen from God himself of your deliverance. Amen. So it says, never falter before your opponent, or never give your opponent any place. Never give. You know, it's like in a fight when you get hit and that punch might be very hard and sometimes you might squirm. Well, you don't want to never give your opponent any type of momentum. It says never falter before your opponent. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time, but not out of message. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching on disobedience. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.